Dick!
I'm all hopped up on fucking sugar. I hath done fucking falling off the wagon, folks. Holy fuck. I relapsed hard. It is so crazy how fucking, I mean, honest to God, I know everybody says, oh, sugar's a drug. It's a fucking drug. It is a fucking 100% drug. That and just trash food. I don't even fucking understand it. Like, once I'm just like a fucking cocaine addict. And basically travel, airports, gas stations, hotels. That it's like I'm fucking a heroin addict walking around the streets of Chicago. In every fucking corner, there's a goddamn drug dealing fucking gas station. You know what I mean? And I can't say no. If you're out there and you're like, I used to be that way, but now I fucking, you know, pack my own fucking carrots on my flight. Good for you. Maybe someday I look up to you, sir. But holy fuck. So anyways, I'm back in the U.S. of A. We back. Yeah. Little sleep deprived. Again, hopped up on sugar and Qdoba. That's because I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to my fans, to you out there. I just downed a fucking chicken queso burrito. I've got me a Coke regular, not a diet, a regular, which I know diet's just as bad for you, but I'm going full cows today. And I've got two, that's right, I said fucking two crumble cookies. Things got out of hand. Things are out of hand. They're gone. Like, I don't know what it is about. Truly, I mean, it's like, whenever I fall off the wagon and I'm just like, fuck it. My body's screaming like, no more, no. But my brain is like, fucking shove that shit in there. Get it, eat as much of it as you can. You want some ice cream too? Should we hit up after, you need something to put on top of your crumble cookies? That's how my brain works. It does not listen to my body at all. It's like, oh, didn't you say you're going to get back on the wagon tomorrow? So doesn't that mean we need to eat 10,000 calories today? Because we can? So that's what I'm doing. I'm not going to lie to you. By the name of this podcast, you already probably aware. I don't even understand how all of my podcasts, my adventure hunts, and all of these, amazing adventures I go on, the hunting story is like a fucking blip, and the travel fucking story is the rest of the fucking podcast. I'm like, I do like 4 minutes on the hunt. Yeah, I shot him, we skinned him out, we packed him out, we're done. Like, that's how the hunt goes. And then it's a fucking slew of bullshit that normally I get myself into. This time it wasn't my fault. So I guess what I need to decide is, do I... Well, I can start with the hunting story and a little bit. Like, there's only one thing I was really going to say about the travel up there. Because it went really well. Now, granted, I didn't book my flights this time. Old cheapo Jake. I actually listened to my outfitter. And he recommended a travel agent. Which I've never used a travel agent before in my life. But this was... a slew of fucking travel, charter flights, and yes, I could have done it, fuck, and I have done it in Alaska, but fuck it, I just said fuck it, I don't want to deal with it, and it was a little expensive, but the flight up went really well, actually. I flew out of Rapid City, which is only about an hour and a half from my house, instead of going out of Denver, which is normally what I do on some of the bigger hunts because it's cheaper. But, I flew from fucking Rapid to Denver and then up to Edmonton, stayed the night there, and then flew from there to basically the next day. Overnighted and then flew to Norman Wells, which was really good because when I got into Edmonton, I went through customs and I didn't have another flight backed right up against it like I normally fucking do. I was able to just get off the plane and not be fucking sweating my dick off thinking I'm never gonna make the next flight. And I just went through customs and I didn't realize. So I call the hotel that she booked for me. And I get the reception desk and I'm like, do you guys have a shuttle from the airport? And of course, the guy on the other end, some sort of foreign country. I didn't really quite understand him at the first time. What he said, something about the airport. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm at the airport. Do you have, you know, can I get a shuttle here? And he goes, no, sir. Our hotel is in the airport. I'm like, oh, fuck. She booked me I want to say Ritz-Carlton, but that's not it. It was like this fancy, fancy fucking hotel that it was attached to the airport. Oh, fuck, it was expensive. I just kept telling myself, I was like, fuck it. Like, I'm already spending all this money on this hunt. Fuck it, you know what I mean? Sometimes it's kind of nice to just live above your means. Now, you can't do that daily or else you go fucking broke. But, like, on a few days here and there, it's nice to just, you know, have a fucking fancy ass hotel with room service and shit. Pretend like you're fucking Donald Trump. I don't know. So I just walked my fucking bags, which of course I got a lot of them. Walked all my shit over there. Got into my hotel. I don't need to bore you with it, but it was fucking pretty fancy. I just kept telling myself, I was like, it's okay. That's Canadian, you know? Like, when I saw the bill, I was like, it's okay, it's okay. It's Canadian. The difference is probably, like, $27, you know what I mean? But, hey, whatever you gotta do to fucking get yourself through it. But everything was going good. The only thing on the way up there, the only retarded thing that I did on the way up there, probably not the only thing, but the only thing I can remember. So I decided that I'd been traveling all day. I needed to fucking get some exercise in, you know? I'd been recovering the last few days, so I hadn't ran or worked out in like 3 days. And so I was like, well, I'm just gonna go for a walk. So I found a place. It was like 3.5 kilometers away from me. Nice little barbecue joint. Looked awesome. So I was like, all right, fuck it, I'll just walk over there. So I punch it in my phone and I start walking. I was like, that's only a couple miles. No big deal. And it wasn't. It really wasn't. Other than I had to cross the fucking interstate. It was like the busy road. There was no sidewalks. It was like this busy, like, fucking 4-6 lane might have been 8. I don't know. It was a busy fucking overpass over an interstate or whatever fucking Canadians call their fucking, you know, roads. Holy fuck. It was sketchy as fuck. Like, I was, like, up against the guardrail. I knew it was, I was, like, halfway there, and I got to this, and I'm like, fuck. Yeah, I made it. I didn't get arrested or run over, but it wasn't great. And then I ate, and the whole time I was thinking, like, I had seen one of those park and rides, like, you know, for the airport. I was like, you know what? I'm going to sneak in there and pretend like I'm going to the airport and just catch a fucking one of these trolley or whatever, these buses back. But the fences were high with barbed wire around them, and they had like a front gate. And I'm sure I could have got in there, but I didn't have any baggage. I knew they'd probably be like, what the fuck is this guy doing? So the place I was actually eating at was a hotel, and I said, screw it. I went up to the lady. I'm like, you guys don't happen to have a shuttle to the airport? She goes, oh, yeah. I'll call them right now. I said, okay, is there any way? I said, I'm not actually. I was fucking honest. I was like, I'm not actually staying here. And she goes, well, how'd you get here? It only goes to the airport. And I said, well, I walked. And I regretted it. And I told her. And she said, oh, no, don't walk back there. That's terrifying. Just so she called the shuttle guy. And he came over and gave me a ride. And I gave him, you know, a tip for doing it. But, yeah, that's me. I'm just a moron. That's the kind of shit that I do. But anyway, the rest of the trip went good. Luggage showed up. You know, it's a pretty intense amount of travel to get to where you're going, and then you get to Norman Wells, clear the fuck up in the middle of nowhere, and you jump on another little beaver plane. I guess I call it a beaver. Fuck, I don't know what it is. You know, like a float plane that's got, I don't know, probably like 8 seats in it. And all of our baggage, and we've got like 6 canisters of airplane fuel. Like, I'm sitting like right next to these giant 50-gallon drums of fucking fuel, and I'm like, holy Christ, I hope nobody's smoking on here. Like, yeah, it was interesting, but I mean, it didn't scare me. I wasn't like, but it's just so funny. You know, there's like Amazon packages and shit. And we flew over, it was about, I don't know, about an hour flight, and landed there on this pristine, beautiful fucking lake. The lodge, I mean, it was legit the middle of nowhere. Like, I'm sure if anyone's listening to this and has done some of these remote hunts with some of these like awesome outfitters, like, you can get fucked. You have to, if you're gonna go after some of these species. I'm gonna take a little sidestep for 1 second, then I'll go back to the lodge. Like, I get, whenever I go on these trips, I get inundated. I don't know. I get fucking slammed with all these, like, oh man, I want to do that. How much is that hunt? That's fine. You want to hit me up? Just realize that these adventure hunts are fucking expensive. Okay? I am tired. If you can't afford a fucking $3,500 whitetail hunt, don't ask me about my hunts. Okay, not these big ones, all right? They're expensive. These species have gotten out of hand. The Super Slam has made everything fucking expensive. Biden has made everything expensive. Travel, all of the shit that goes into these hunts are expensive, and people are willing to pay it because there's a fucking, you know, it's a fucking, I'm not saying hunting is a game, but that's kind of what it is now. Like, some of this shit is setting goals to achieve certain species, so guys are willing to pay money, and it is a fucking, like, once you see all of the, what am I trying to fucking say? God damn it. I've had a fucking day. I've been up since 3, so fuck off. Once you see all that goes into these places and these outfits, now there are some shitbags out there, so you need to, if you're gonna go on a big hunt, don't look for the discount. Find somebody that has been to one, and don't ask him how much it costs and then say, oh, Jesus Christ, I can't fucking do that. Like, I'm not making fun of you. Yes, I am. But if you asked me how much it costs and you said, oh, that's fucking above my pay grade or whatever the fuck, just know it fucking drives me crazy, all right? I'm a goddamn lowly fucking electrician. I make garbage a year, but I just have my priorities straight. I don't drive a fucking $80,000 truck. And I spend most of my money on hunting because I paid my shit off when I had extra money. So fuck off. All right, let's go back to the lodge. I know I'm talking fast and I'm all hopped up, remember? So this place is like a bunch of cabins built along the edge of the lake. They've got they've got a fucking shower house. They've got, oh, I don't even know, 6 or 7 cabins with bunk beds in them. They've got a spot with a kitchen and a big dining area. It's fucking badass. And no shit, they have electricity there. They have, as a fucking electrician, I find this fucking fascinating. They have built their own hydro plant, basically using the river. They've piped it down into this pump. I don't even understand it. I'm an electrician, and I mean, I understand it, but they're basically just using the water to turn a pump and create fucking power into a generator. And then they feed it down this fucking long line down to camp. I mean, it is impressive. So they have power everywhere, lights, you can charge your phone. I know what you're thinking. Jesus Christ, Jake, I thought you were fucking backpack hunting. What a pussy. Well, I'll be honest with you. I showed up, we unloaded our shit, and my outfitter was like, all right, Jake, you're going out first, which I loved. I thought that was awesome. You know, I was like, hit the ground fucking running. He's like, you're out, your guide's already out there. He just got back, he just guided a client. Yesterday, the day before I got there was opening day of caribou season. They had shot a caribou that day. And giant fucking caribou, by the way. This fucking like 12-year-old kid as a really nice grandpa with some deeper pockets. And I asked him if he wanted to be my grandpa, and he said no, so damn it. But anyway, the kid had shot a sheep, and so they went out and shot a caribou, big old fucking giant bastard. And so I was excited. I gathered all my shit, put my bow together, threw it all in my pack, grabbed some food from their little shanty or whatever with all their backpacking stuff in it. And they threw me in the Super Cub, and away we went. Flew in, met up with my guide. It was kind of funny because they're like, yeah, he just packed out. So he had guided that kid the day before. They killed the caribou. I'm going to fuck this up, but they killed the caribou like late at night. And he had to hike back to camp, which was, I don't know, a mile or two. Get another pack so they all three could put it on, and then they went back. So he didn't get back into camp, I don't think, until like 4 a.m. or something like that, 5 a.m. And then the flight came in and got the kid and the grandpa. So he was basically just sleeping all day. We come flying in. And his name was Brant. He's a cool dude. Young kid, like 20, 28. I call him a kid. He's like 28 years old. He crawls out of his tent. He's in his undies, you know. And I was like, that's good. He's going to be a fucking... He's going to be a good guide. And he was. So anyway, get there. It's like 7, 8 o'clock at night. Set my tent up because we each had our own tents. And they told me, they're like, you probably won't even move from camp. There's a lot of caribou around there. I mean, you guys might pack up and go somewhere if it gets tough, but you'll probably just be right there. So I took a few extra things. They threw in a little archery target and a few things, a few amenities. But for the most part, it was just backpacking stuff. And basically got there, said our hellos. I could tell he was tired, so I was like, fuck it, dude. Go to sleep. I just was admiring the country. It was unfucking believable. Like, I love Alaska, but I kind of want to say that this place was cooler. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm coming off of that. And when I go to Alaska, I'm like, yeah, it's about, you know, 6 in one, half dozen in the other. They're different, but both equally good. But right now, I'm thinking that place is something special. The mountains just are like a fucking painting. I don't know. It's, I know there's places like that everywhere, but anyway, it was unbelievable. But I was tired too, and we obviously couldn't hunt till the next day or 12 hours. I can't remember what the rules are. He's like, dude, no big deal. We'll just get up. It's pretty much light all day. We'll get up. We won't get up crazy early. We'll just get up and we'll go get after it. So got up at like 5:30 the next morning. And that was my first day of hunting. And we took off to the area where he thought he knew. He had told me, he's like, there's like 20 or 30 caribou up in this valley up behind camp. So we hiked back in there and fuck, we come around the corner and there they were, just 25 caribou. And I could not fucking believe how many big bulls there were. Just like fucking... And I... Granted, my idea of a big bull and my guide's idea of a big bull are completely different. And I had told him, like, dude, I'm just looking for a respectable animal. I don't need a giant. Like, I just want stocks, you know. We'll go after... As long as it's not a dink, you know, let's go after it. And he was all about it. He's like, hell yeah, dude, that's awesome. So we watched him for a while, but... And then they kind of headed off and went towards the... snowpack areas and kind of up high, and we're like, well, maybe we can ambush them coming back. It was pretty open, like the country, it's just alpine basically, and going up to mountains that are shale, so not a lot to hide behind. But we're like, well, we don't want to dick those up, so we turned around and started glassing back across the valley that camp was in the river. And we ended up finding a bull bedded way up on the other mountain across from camp. Like, we had gone clear back in this one basin or river valley or whatever the fuck you want to call it. And found this one, and it looked like a decent bull. So we're like, all right, fuck it. Let's go. Like, he was by himself. I was like, that's my kind of animal there. So anyway, we go all the way back out to the river valley, and then go down it a ways, and then back up to, and it is just a steep-ass shale fucking mountain, and luckily there was a caribou trail going up it, so it wasn't too bad, just kind of stepping in his tracks. I say his, I mean, obviously that's kind of, there was some fresh shit on there, he had definitely gone up that. But anyway, we got up there, ended up finding him up on this snowpack. He was a good bull. Kind of made some plans on where we could maybe catch him as he came back down into the tundra, because there was kind of just this little basin up there. And probably the wrong word, basin, but fuck it, I'm using it. It was just a big tundra flat, you know, between mountains. Fuck, I don't know. I would call it a basin. We watched him for, I don't know, probably like 2 hours maybe. And he's just bedded and just standing. They're weird animals. They like stand in one place with their nose like in the fucking snow. Or like they look like they're eating, but they're not eating. They just got their heads down. I think they're just praying that fucking God strikes them with lightning, because the fucking bugs are just destroying them. They're just fucking shaking all over the place, and every now and then they'll just take off running. Like I, like fuck it, I'm out of here. These fucking bugs. Like it's literally like what it looks like. They just get fed up with it and they just take off running. But this guy's just chilling. We got a good ambush idea spot, and all of a sudden this fucker looks straight down below him and then just takes off uphill like fuck, something's coming. And Brant was like, fuck, get that gun, because I had a wolf tag. We're like, fuck, you know, here comes a wolf, or something, you know, that's what we were hoping for. So I grab the gun, we run to the edge of the hill and look down. And it's a fucking doll. It's like a fucking, I don't know, banana head, whatever you call it. Just a fucking young doll sheep coming up the hill. I'm like, why is that caribou running from a fucking doll sheep? Like, he obviously didn't know what it was. He thought it was a wolf or something, because he went. And that's the one crazy thing about these caribou. When you spook them, sometimes they just leave. Like, they go to the top of the mountain and fucking leave. It's not what I expected. I really thought they'd be more, like, calm, you know? Like, you'd spook them, but they'd just kind of go over there and just hang out. But no. And, I mean, we had a few do that, but he said, like, if they smell you, they had a group the day before that smelled them, and fucking he said they were gone. Like, gone. So yeah, this caribou was out of our life and gone and forever, which was, I was disappointed, but I also was kind of excited, because he said that we probably weren't going to see any doll where we were, it wasn't going to be we probably weren't going to see them where we were as much, because, I don't know, whatever, the terrain we were in. So I was kind of glad to see at least one sheep, so then we turn around, and we are like hanging out, just kind of watching everything, and then we see some back down in the valley in the river bottom doing the same fucking thing, just running all over hell. They're only like a half a mile from camp. I'm like, so fuck, all right, now we're, it's kind of like, it was a lot like antelope hunting, honestly. Like I love antelope hunting. It's, you know, it's wide open. And you just, you know, it's like, oh, there's a group, let's go after them. And then you fuck that up, and then you turn around, like, oh, there's a group, let's go after them. And then you go after them. And, I mean, that's what I likened it to. And they kind of acted like antelope, you know, kind of just sporadic, no real fucking rhyme or reason for what the fuck they're doing. So we took off, got down to the bottom, went up, and we watched them. And they're doing that weird, there's two pretty good bulls and a cow, and they're just huddled together on the river bank, or on the river bottom. And I say river bottom, basically it was just, you know, a lot of like streams coming through. It's just, I don't know. I would assume that a lot of it is just snow melt. Jake. But it's not like a wide river. It's just like sections of streams that all kind of flow together back and forth, and rocks, shale in between them. If you've never been to Alaska or the Northwest Territories, that's about what it looks like. They're just standing down there in the rocks with their head down, like shaking off the bugs. And there wasn't anything we could do with them there. We were hoping they'd keep coming down the river. We had the wind in our face. And if they did, we thought maybe we could get down a little ways down and get on a pinch point. But then, all of a sudden, after 30 minutes of standing there doing nothing, they just took off running and went up, back up into the valley that we had been in the morning. I'm like, Jesus Christ, these things are fucking... These things are insane. Like, what is happening? Okay? I have no idea. So, we head back, and this time, now it's getting towards that witching hour, you know, like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. It's like, all right, we're going to go back up in that valley. That was our plan anyway. So, we hiked back up in that valley. We ended up finding the two bulls, and they were bedded slash standing on a little tiny snowpack. We actually just walked up to the edge of this hill and just happened to see their racks. Fuck, they were only like 80 yards away from us. It was perfect. Actually, they looked, there was a little lull and then another hill, and then they were, looked like they were just beyond that. Like, it literally looked like if I just snuck to that other hill, they'd be at like 20 yards, but it wasn't that. They were at, excuse me, when we saw them, they were at like 250 yards, and it looked like they were like 20 or 30 yards from that hill, but they were 80. You know, we ranged them, and anyway, so I was like, fuck it, the wind's good right in our face. I snuck over there and got to the edge again, ranged them, and yep, 84 yards, I think. Nowhere to go. So I was like, I'll just watch them. Maybe they'll come this way. And watched them for probably, I don't know, maybe, and I don't know, maybe not even that long, but it was at least an hour, hour and a half, maybe. It's fucking started sprinkling rain. I didn't have any rain gear. I didn't have anything but my bow. I had just my light clothes on. It didn't get that cold, so it wasn't that bad, but yeah. So I watched them, and again, they were like, I've never seen an animal bed for maybe 2 minutes and then get up, put its head down, and then after 2 minutes, lay back down, and then get up, and then down, and then up, and then down. Like, they just cannot. It looks like a miserable fucking life. Which, honestly, I didn't think the bugs were that bad. Of course, they've got some certain bug that, like, burrows in their skin, lays eggs and shit, like... The mosquitoes weren't that bad. Like, it was actually beautiful there. Like, when you'd stand still for a good portion of time and the sun was out, yeah, you'd get some mosquitoes on you and some flies, but it wasn't like Canada bear hunting, you know what I mean? It wasn't that bad. Maybe I was just lucky for that period of time I was there, but I think I was. So anyway, laid there, watched them. Finally, they get up and start feeding, and they feed kind of to my right, and they're feeding kind of towards me, and there's a little hill that if they go over, I can crest the one I'm on and go around the hill that they're going around and probably get in on them. But guess what? The goddamn wind has switched, and the fucking wind is cutting at my back and a little to my right, just a little bit. So I know I'm, and there's nowhere I can go. The only thing I could possibly do is back the fuck out, which is probably what I should have done. But there's really nowhere, nothing to do. And if they stay where they're at and work towards me, the wind should cut to my right just enough to miss them. Well, those cocksuckers decide, and at this point they're at like 55, so they're closing the distance. And I was hoping they'd either go straight away or straight to me. But they didn't. One of them cut up the hill and smelled me. And of course, they fucking... That was it. They boogered. They were like, oh, fuck you. And they went over the hill and ran off. But they didn't know. They didn't see me. Those two didn't booger too hard. They made like this huge circle and went back to the shale that they were... like. They just went down the mountain a little ways and found another snowpack and laid on it. Because we found him again when we went back, got our shit, got our rain gear. I got my rain gear on, and we walked down to the river and started walking down that, because we were going to check where all those caribou had been the day or the morning before. So we're over there and we're watching, you know, the caribou funnel out. We had missed them. We were too late to get over there, and we were trying. We were kind of thinking that we were just going to watch, make sure they did the same thing, and then try to ambush them the next evening. Because we didn't want to booger the whole group. And all of a sudden, we're sitting there watching them, and these fucking things, just for whatever reason, I don't know if the wind swirled, and they were a long ways away from us. They were probably, I don't know, 500 yards away. That's not that far, I guess. They definitely could have winded us, but the wind didn't seem like it was just going straight to them. They just take off fucking running. They have no idea. They probably did wind us, because they have no fucking idea what is going on. And they're running up and down and around and around. Well, I'm in the river bottom, and Brant's up on the hill watching this. And all of a sudden, he is like motioning for me to go across and go up the other bank. And I was like, oh shit. So I take off running, and I'm standing, like, I could tell this one spot is really possibly going to be deep, and it's running pretty hard, and I can't jump across it. I don't have gaiters on, I don't have rain gear on anymore. I'm like, oh fuck, I'm gonna get soaking wet. And I look back at him, and he has got this frantic look in his face, on his face, like, holy fuck, go. I said, fuck it. I jumped in, which luckily it wasn't too bad, and I was able to do it so fast that I didn't get much in my boots. Ran up the hill. As I'm coming up to the top of this hill, I see this caribou coming across, and he's probably like 20, 25 yards away from me, right in front of me, running across. He doesn't see me. He's running, and I don't have an arrow on. So I'm putting an arrow on as fast as I can, and I'm turning, and Brant's behind me grunting like, arr, which was fucking great, because this caribou stopped. He had gotten past me, so he's facing straight away, and he turns to look at Brant, which turns him almost perfectly broadside. He's probably like 30 yards away. I draw and fucking send it, and I hit him. It was up where he was uphill still from me too, and I hit him high, but it went in. Like, he said that he looked at the lungs, and I had clipped the top of the lung, and it shoved right up into his fucking spine, broke his spine, dropped him immediately. And as I mean, really fast, I grabbed another arrow quick, fucking sent another one with. That's what I love about hunting with a recurve. It's just I don't use it because I think it's a fucking challenging weapon. I use it because within the ranges that I like to be in, it's way more effective than a compound. And I sent another one right through his, I mean, perfectly through his fucking goods. It blew through him so fast that, and I was looking for blood. I was going to shoot him again. It's like that first one, the first one, he was done. He was dead. But of course, I'm not going to. So anyway, he didn't go up. He didn't fucking go anywhere. It was unbelievable. Like, he died really fast. I'm like looking at Brant across the, like, that, holy shit, did that just happen? And anyway, it was, we got all our pictures and had, you know, fucking the fist bumps and chatting. It's like, I fuck if I know, 9, 10 o'clock at night by this point, 9 o'clock, I don't know, I didn't keep track. So we start, you know, we do all the shit we need to do. We got him all quartered out and shoved in our packs. Now here's where I'm going to disappoint all you folks out there that followed me over to Stone Glacier. I'm sorry. This is the first fucking pack out I've had with the Stone. And I haven't, I mean, I've done some rucks with it, with, you know, my normal 40, 50 pounds. I wasn't impressed. I really wasn't impressed. And of course, Brand had me thinking. He's a gear nut. And I mean, a gear nut. Like, this kid, he's got some good shit. Like, most of my guides, I end up looking at their shit. I'm like, what the fuck is... What is that spotting scope? Like what brand is that, you know? But, you know, he's got all the shit. Like, Swaros, and you can tell he's very meticulous on his gear. And I look at his pack, and it's a Mystery Ranch. And I'm not saying a Mystery Ranch. Like, in my mind, Mystery Ranch is a good pack, but it's not, like, what I expected. I was like, that's kind of weird, right? I've never run into a guide that was wearing, you know, I always sheep guides and shit. Like, the guys up in Alaska are running a lot of Stones that I've seen, or Barneys. So I'm like, huh. I didn't say anything. But then we got talking about gear and stuff, and he's like, man, I said, well, yeah, I was kind of surprised at your pack. He's like, dude, you won't hardly find a good guide up here that's running anything but a Mystery Ranch or possibly a Barney's. He said, the only guys that are running fucking Stones or Kuyus are the ones that are getting them for free every year because they fucking break. I was like, really? He's like, oh yeah, man. So I wasn't basing anything off of that conversation. I was like, oh, well, okay. You know, everybody's got their thing. But I started looking at his pack, really looking at all of the overbuiltness to it. I was like, man, like, fucking locking buckles everywhere. All the buckles are fucking heavy duty. The Cordura is really heavy. Like, I know that that's kind of their thing. They're not looking for lightweight packs, but who gives a fuck if it's an extra pound? So I'm starting to, like, the wheels are starting to turn. I'm like, ah, you know, Stone's a good pack. I've had good luck, you know, on the few little hunts that I've done around home. And, you know, I hadn't packed anything out yet. So we get this goddamn, you know, he took two hinds. No, what'd he take? I think he took a hind, a front. I think he took, I had the backstraps, tenderloins, ribs, and I think a front quarter, and then the hide and rack and skull, because we didn't cape out the skull. And he took, I think, two hinds and a front. And, we had all our shit, which I probably had too much shit. Tripod and spotter. Anyway, probably had more shit than I needed. And it was fucking heavy. You know, I mean, of course, it's the first pack out of the year. Not gonna lie to you folks. I struggled a little bit more than I thought I was going to. Like, I did great, you know, hiking around. I know everybody's gonna be, it's because you've been running too much, you fucking moron. I strapped a pack on. I didn't strap, I mean, it was, those packs were closing in on 100 pounds. They had to have been. I have no fucking idea. I really don't know. But, regardless, and then, here's my problem with the Stone. And I could see when we were lashing shit down and really cinching on the buckles. For one, none of the buckles are, I don't know, whatever, those anti-slide buckles, which, of course, you can buy them and put them on there, which I could do. But as we were cinching shit down, like, it looked kind of like the fucking, it was being pretty hard on the seams. Like, looked like we were going to lose some. And he had told me a few wear spots that, he had told me some stuff that he had seen over the 10 years he'd been doing this. Because most guys do show up with a Stone or a Kuyu. And he's like, I've seen them all break. Kafaru, Stone. You know, he was telling me about all the weak spots on all of them. He was smart. He knew what he was talking about. He goes, man, this pack I got will last me fucking 10 years for sure. And he, you know, he guides... That's all he does. He guides sheep, then moose, then mountain, and mountain caribou. Then he does goats, and then he hunts all winter long for mountain lions. I mean, he's not a fucking fly-by-night guy. That's all he does is hunt and pack in the mountains. So I listen to these guys. These are the guys that I get my fucking information from. So anyway, and he said, man, I've tried all these packs on with weight in them. And he said, the stone is seemed like it was tipsy. Or not tipsy. What the fuck word did he use? I don't know. Whatever he used. I don't know. But regardless, he was fucking right. Like, I could barely... And I, granted. I had, you know, the fucking rack on there. And the head and shit. So, I mean, it was a little bit tipsy of a fucking load anyway. But I just wasn't impressed. I really wasn't. It damn near yanked me off the fucking hillside. We were side hilling, and my ankles are garbage. And in that tundra, oh, fuck. I rolled my ankle about the first half mile in, and it fucking hurt so bad. It hurt. It did. It fucking hurt real bad. but I didn't want to be a pussy, you know, so I just kept going. And every step, I was like, oh, God, this is going to be not good tomorrow. It ended up being fine. My skater ankles are garbage. So I was used to rolling my ankle, and then eventually it fucking just goes back to normal, I guess. I don't know. But, man, it did not. And so the last, I don't know, like, the pack was not even that big of a deal. It was like maybe 2 miles, and it wasn't overly, we had to go up and down and side hill a little bit, but it wasn't like straight up the mountain and then back down or whatever. It was just, you know, hilly, I guess, if you will. So it really wasn't bad. But the last 3/4 mile, 1/2 mile, I don't know, we had stopped for a break, and I said, and we had decided that we were going to switch packs. So I put his on and started going, and his was actually heavier than mine, I would say. Not by a lot, but a few pounds. You could tell there was a little bit heavier. It did ride better. I'd say the only disadvantage that I saw with his pack at this moment, after looking at it and how heavy it's built and shit, and just how well it's thought out, it squeaked a little bit. It had that little Cordura on Cordura, like, which, in it drives me crazy when shit like that squeaks. But in all honesty, I don't really stalk with my fucking pack on. I mean, it might bug me in a still hunting situation, but that's not the loaded pack isn't what I'd be wearing in that scenario probably anyway. Possibly, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that Mystery Ranch is the fucking answer, but of course, I've already ordered a fucking slew of Mystery Ranch to try out. God. So, if you're a Stone Glacier guy, there could be some good deals on some stones coming up. I'm gonna see what I think. And if I like what I'm seeing, and I'm gonna throw a bunch of weight in it and carry it around and see what, if I can handle the noise. And if I like it, then I'm going to switch and I'm gonna sell a bunch of shit. I'm also selling a fucking MagView adapter. I probably shouldn't tell you what I think about it. It works fine, but it's a fucking pain in the ass. Like, I thought that it just snapped in. I was fighting the urge. I was trying not to buy the All-In or All-In or whatever the fucking gay-ass name it is because of fucking Schneids, because that douchebag was fucking promoting it. Which is a stupid reason not to buy a good piece of gear. We'll see. I don't know. I'm going to try that one, and there's another one that I want to try. I've got some gear coming up for sale. But I think I'm going to take a little break here. I'm getting pretty close to home, and I want to eat the rest of my cookies. So I'm going to jump back on here. That's the hunt portion of this podcast. Now, for the fucking travel home, because that's where shit got real fucking normal for me. You know what I mean? Like, you just stay tuned, and I'll jump back on. You know I don't listen to this shit, right? I don't. Turns out my fucking radio station, since I was on the, I was doing the podcast for so long, that switched to, I can't even say it. Something tunes, all right? If you know, you know. All right, I'm back, and I've got just a little bit of time to, brief you on the travel. So anyway, I get my caribou killed first day, which was kind of bittersweet. I mean, he's not a giant, like the picture makes him look bigger than he is, but he's a good bull. Like, he's all of what I wanted. But it was, I wasn't disappointed about taking him. I was just disappointed that I was like, fuck, now, you know, the hunt's over. I'm supposed to have 9 days, you know, it's a 10-day backpack hunt. Like, what the fuck am I going to do for the next 9 days? Like, I was like, well, I'd love to just stay in here and camp and maybe hope for a wolf. Wolf and wolverine were the only two tags that I've had, I wish I'd have been able to have another, any kind of tag, you know, chase grizzlies. Of course, they don't do that up there. So no bears, no sheep, and moose wasn't seasoned yet. So, yeah, fuck, now what am I going to do? He's like, well, and as we're, like, butchering my caribou, it's like 10 o'clock at night. He's like, technically, if you wanted to leave tomorrow, you could. There's another flight bringing horseback hunters in into camp tomorrow afternoon. And I was like, well, God, I don't want to leave tomorrow. Is there any other flights, like maybe in like 2 or 3 days? He goes, no, I think that is the only flight until your flight comes in like 12 days or 11 days or whatever it is. I was like, fuck me. So anyway, I struggled with it pretty hard. Basically, if I was single, I would have stayed. I would have just looked for wolves and then come back to camp eventually, maybe done a little fishing, which they said the fishing sucked anyway, so no big deal. But yeah, I would have just spent time up there. I would have asked to go fucking pack for somebody. I just wanted to be out there, but I knew that I needed to get home. I've got a busy fucking fall coming up, and I had an opportunity to get out of there and come home to my family, come home to my kids, and I'm going to be gone a shitload this fall. So I was like, fuck it. You know, I had work wasn't a problem. It was sometimes you just got to make the decision for the kids. I know I'm acting like I'm a fucking martyr, but, that's a good lesson that I've had to learn, and sometimes I fail at it. This time I succeeded, but I was tough because, you know, I traveled for 2 days, full days, and then fucking gangbusters, go, 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 kill a bull, pack it out, get back to camp, eat a little supper because I hadn't eaten shit all day, or eat a mountain house, whatever, and then crawl in bed at 2 a.m., get up at 6 a.m., get everything packed up, jump back on the plane, get back to camp, gather all my shit, basically, cut up some meat, freeze as much as we can, and then fly out that evening. Had to change flights and do all that shit. It was a fucking clusterfuck, and it cost me quite a bit of money, honestly. So I was expecting it to be a fucking shit show. And so here's how it works. You get on your, you know, I had already flown in the Super Cub that morning, Then I get on the float plane. I go back to Norman Wells. And we check in the caribou and all the other guys' sheep that from last week. And check them in. Get our hotel. We have a little hotel there. And all have some supper. And then next morning, get up. Not crazy early, but get up, get our shit together, and flew out that morning, like at 9 or something like that. And it was one of those milk run planes that flies for 20 minutes, lands, gets a few people get off, a few people get on, and then it flies for 20 more minutes, and a few people get on. So we did that 3 times. Then we finally land in Yellowknife and have a bit of a layover there, go back through security and fly to Edmonton that night on a commercial type flight. Get to Edmonton, everything went really good, got in my fancy pants hotel again, fucking paid that Canadian big bucks for the room. Fuck it, I did it. Like, I started on the way home, I just was like, fuck it. Credit card, I'm gonna be sick when I get my bill. I was like, fuck it. I did room service and I was buying whatever. Like, I didn't give a shit. Like, I was just like, I'm gonna live it up. You know, I'm gonna have some fun. All right, I'm on vacation for a couple more days. Like, I didn't get to stay in the beautiful country in my tent like I wanted to. So I'm gonna fucking live like, I'm gonna live large. So that was something. And so that was yesterday. That flight got me in there about 7-8 o'clock last night. So that was Friday night. I started my journey on Thursday morning at 6 a.m. after a fucking basically all night pack out. I know what you're thinking. It's not all night. You got to sleep from 2 to 6, you cunt. So Thursday, Friday, all went really well. Everything's good. Everything's going well. This morning, I get up at 3:20, 3:30, take a shower, and I knew I had to go through customs in Edmonton. So I got down. I flew out of there at 6 a.m. So I got down there like at 3:45. Went through customs, got the meat through. Everything was good. Meat was good and frozen because the hotel had a freezer. Like, things are going well. All right? Things are going really well. Knock on fucking wood, right? So, fly out this morning. And I've got 2 flights today, that's all. I've got one from Edmonton to Denver. And then I've got Denver to Rapid. And I've already gone through customs, so that's the hard part. If you ever fly and you have to connect after you fucking go through customs, that's a cunt. That's a fucking nightmare, unless you have like 6 hours of layover. I've had like 3 or 4 hours and barely made my fucking flight. So yeah, like, she set it up perfectly. Things are going really well. I get to Denver today at 9 a.m. Yeah, I think 8:40. I think we were supposed to be there at 9. I think we ended up being there like 8:30, 8:45. So I'm in the terminal at 9. I go to the next terminal, find my flight, and find my gate. I know I'm there a little early. It doesn't say Rapid City. I'm like, huh, weird. But okay, well, it's still pretty early. So I wasn't supposed to fly out till 11:30. So I was like, well, they probably just have this flight going to wherever. And then, you know, they'll pop our flight up after this one leaves and all's good. And cause I had just checked the big board and it said, you know, it still said my flight on time. Everything was good. All right. So it's getting to be like 10 o'clock in the morning. It's probably like 10:30. And I go up to the front. I'm like, you haven't switched the... is this not the gate for Rapid? And they're like, here's the thing. They're like, we don't have pilots for this plane. I'm going to let that sink in a minute. We don't have pilots for your plane. I was like, what? That's new. That's a new one. Okay. And I know there's like some strike going on. I know this is like happening to other people, so it's not a fucking revelation. But I've never seen this one. I've had most everything else happen. We have a little bit of a low tire, folks. We're going to be here for about another 7 hours. I've had that one, but I've never had... We don't have a fucking pilot. So anyway, I'm like, well, are you going to get one? And they're like, yeah, eventually. Well, I won't bore you with the fucking facts. We were supposed to leave at 11:30. They finally fucking rousted a guy, I think maybe out of the fucking bar, threw a fucking white jumpsuit on him and fucking little wings on his fucking collar and said, here you go. I Jesus Christ. Yeah, no, 4 o'clock. Like, jeez, you gotta be shitting me. All right, fine, okay. So, finally get on the plane. And here's the thing. So I've sat in the airport for what? 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 7 hours? I'm in Denver. That's 4.5 hours from my house if I take my time in a car. Like, holy fuck, okay? I'm irritated. I should have just rented a car and driven home, but my truck's in Rapid, blah, blah, blah. We're finally on the plane. I am... I'm in the very last row, like in the very back against the window. And there's a lady next to me, a nicer older lady. But she's kind of like quirky, you know what I mean? Like, she's like trying to get everybody like pumped up and, okay with the fact that we sat there or whatever. The plane is uber fucking hot because the sun's been baking on it for 7 fucking hours or all day. You know, so it's super hot. They're trying to cool it down, but the fucking air that's blowing out of the goddamn vents is almost as hot as, you know, it's just like a fucking mess. And I have had it. Like, I'm over traveling. I've been up early, so I'm a little on edge, you know. I'm a little fucking wired. And I put my earbuds in because I can't do this lady right now. Like, and she's not trying to talk to me. She's talking to everybody else. Like, all right. Super nice. Just not, I was not in the mood for it. But anyway, let's see. It took us a while to get off the fucking tarmac. I can't really remember what was going on, but we were waiting on something. But anyway, so we finally get up in the air, and it's only an hour flight. It's like 50 minutes. Oh, and that's right. The guy was like, it's going to be a bumpy ride and blah, blah, blah. We're not going to turn off the seatbelt sign, blah, blah, blah. Okay, no big deal. It's 50 minutes. So we do the flight. It goes pretty well, except for, you know, like I said, I think this guy come off with fucking, he'd had a couple of toddies, no doubt. I don't know, he come in a little hot, bounced that fucking airplane off the, and when I mean bounced, like, we actually turned a little bit. It scared the fuck out of me. I won't lie, I'm not a big fan of flying to begin with, and when the fucking guy comes down hot and you're it shot me to the right. Like, my seatbelt actually did something for me on that one. Like, holy shit. Like, thank God, you know. So we get stopped. And they pull up. They jump on the intercom. Like, folks, we're waiting on the flight crew to come out here and And they're getting things organized. We'll be here a few minutes. 40 minutes later, I'm sitting on this fucking airplane, sweating my dick off. At this point, I'm super pissed. And I'm like talking to this lady. She's super nice. And she's like, where you been? You know, what you doing? And I was, you know, I'm dropping F-bombs. Like, I'm like, ah, fuck. Yeah, I've been up in Northwest Territories. I've been fucking flying for 3 days, you know. Luckily, she was cool. And she was from around there. I showed her my caribou. She wasn't a hunter, but she was super, like, excited about everything. I had left my truck at my buddy's place because I thought I was going to be gone for fucking 14, 15 days. So I thought, and he lives right by the airport. So it's like, all right. So I left my truck there, and come to find out, not like it was all good. Like I said, like, yeah, dude, I'll be in town at 12:30, 1 o'clock. And he's like, cool, man. We're going to go to Deadwood tonight, but not till later. So I'll just come grab you and take you to my house. Well, fuck, after the 17th time they pushed my flight back, and I was like, dude, you can't, don't wait for me. And he's like, oh, sorry, man. So I was like, no, I'll figure it out. I'll get there, you know. I'll figure out Uber or Lyft or whatever. I've never really done it, but I'll figure it out. So anyway, I'm sitting there telling this lady, and she's like, well, I'll give you a ride. Oh, that's nice. That's, you know, I'm sitting there on my Lyft app, like, God damn it. I kind of want to tell her no, but then I'm like, oh, fuck, it's going to take this, you know, who knows what's going to happen on this Lyft deal. I'm going to probably fucking book it, and it's not going to, he's going to go to the wrong place. Who knows? You know, just me being me. And so I was like, oh, fuck it. That'd be great. You know, it's not out of her way, really. She can just kind of, it's just like 5 minutes off the main road off of where she's headed. So all right, fine. And she said, yeah, my friend dropped her car off in the lot there for me, and I was like, oh cool, I'll pay, oh, that's fine, I'll pay for your parking. And she said, oh, that's great. So okay, well, the Lyft was like $14. I figured, you know, the party, if their friend dropped her car off yesterday or whatever, probably is going to save me money. Anyway, so finally get off the fucking tarmac. 40 minutes later, I'm the last motherfucker off the plane. Get my fucking two huge bags and my cooler that is fucking thawed out by this point. And get all that shit loaded up. The lady's outside smoking because she was jonesing, she said. I gotta love old ladies. So anyway, we go out, and I've got my rolly bag. I've got my giant Kuyu Taku bag, or whatever they call it. Don't get me started on that. That's gonna be for sale too. Actually, I'm gonna send that motherfucker back to Kuyu and say, fix this stupid piece of shit. Like, the way it's designed is fucking retarded. I hated it. But it's packed full of shit. You know, I've got it draped around my neck. I've got my backpack on. I've got that Taku bag draped around my neck. I'm holding my fucking 25, 30-pound cooler in one hand. And I'm pulling the fucking my other huge bag. And we're out in the parking lot looking for this lady's car. She's like, it's a orange something. I don't know, Escort maybe. I'm like, what the fuck? And of course, it's like 97 degrees out. I am fit to be fucking tied, okay? You guys know my attitude sometimes gets a little on the downside, especially when I'm hungry and tired. And fucking hot. If those three are involved, watch out, because I am about to go on a fucking killing spree. Fuck. So finally, I just stop walking around. She's like, just stay right there, I'll go look for it. And I'm like, I'm like pulling my phone out of my pocket. Like, I've logic has gone out the window. Fucking being courteous has gone out the window. I'm looking at my Lyft app like, fuck this. I got to get to my truck. Fuck this place. So I'm about to go to my Lyft app. And here she comes fucking. Bah, 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 bah. She's coming around the corner. And, oh, God. Thank God. So I throw my shit in. And we head off down the road. Everything's good. We're having a nice conversation. She drops me off at my truck. No, that's it. That's the other thing. It doesn't matter because it was super nice of her and I don't care. Especially after I spent like, I don't know, $50 on a burger one night. But the parking was like $37 or something like that. I was like, God damn it. Like I could have just got a Lyft for $14. That was the other thing I was thinking. So on the way home, I was listening to like a whodunit podcast, like a I don't know, because I needed something that wasn't gonna bore me to death, so I wasn't listening to hunting podcasts anymore. I was listening to like this murder podcast or something, and I was thinking like, maybe this old lady's like a serial killer. You know what I mean? Like, I know it's so dumb, and I really didn't think that, but in my mind, I was like, that would be my luck. You know, she's gonna fucking like stick me with a fucking dart, and I'm gonna wake up in some goddamn basement, like hog tied to a goddamn toilet, naked, you know, or something weird. Fucking wearing like spandex. She's gonna come in all fucking dressed in leathers, you know, looking like Catwoman, like a 90-year-old Catwoman. That's what's going through my head in my fucking delirious brain while I'm standing there waiting for her to drive up in her car. Jesus. Oh, God. I'm a fucking mess. But anyway, so I get to my truck, all's good. And then basically that's the end of the story. I've went and got some, oh, let's see. I think these cookies are serious. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to do what these influencers do and lie to you. Okay. I just ate conservatively 2,500 calories in one meal. I know these cookies are at least 600 a piece, maybe 7. And I don't know what a Qdoba fucking chicken queso burrito is, but it's got to be with a pop. It's got to be pushing 1,500. So, yikes. And I haven't done shit today. Back on the wagon tomorrow. I'm going to go for a run. I'm going to fucking cold plunge. I'm going to fast until lunch, and then I'm just going to eat fucking greens, fruit, and meat for a couple of days, try to get back on track. I'm getting myself another week's worth of work in, because I wasn't even supposed to be home until a week from Monday. So I've got a few jobs I'm going to try to get ahead on, because I've got some more adventuring to do here, and it ain't gonna be long before it's... Is it September yet? Not yet, but it's coming! Alright, that was stupid. Alright. I'm almost home. I can't wait to see my kids, my wife. So that's gonna have to be the podcast. I got just one more little crumb of cookie to eat over there. A little more of this pop to chug down my gullet so that my fucking side hurts like a motherfucker tomorrow while I'm running, and I can just be like, you are the dumbest motherfucker on the planet. Why do you do this to yourself? Because it's fun, and I'm a weak-minded son of a bitch. All right, that's the podcast. Thanks for listening. If you liked it, go send me a comment. I was looking through, there's other places that I don't get a huge audience because I'm not everybody's cup of tea, and I'm cool with that. Plus, I don't promote it that much. Throw me a good comment. All right. I think I talked about the guy that was fucking irate about my podcast because I cuss too much. So let's get some comments coming. All right? I don't ask you for much. Fucking share it. Like it. I know that's fucking douchefluencer stuff, but who cares? I'm feeling douchefluency right now. Let's do this thing. Nah, I don't care. Do it, don't do it. I do appreciate it. I like it when people enjoy my shit. All right, fuck it. I'm done. I gotta go. I'm a mile from home. Thanks. We'll talk to you later and get your asses back to work.